I've known Chris for approximately 25 years, thereabouts. He and I have a shared history, and I've never told all of the congregation at one time this, but there was a time in our lives together that we had a difficult day or two. And when those difficult days were worked out, I looked at Chris and I took him by the shoulders. And because of our relationship and other people that were involved in stuff, I asked him this question. I said, I hope you remember this.
Okay.
I said, Chris Lenti, would you be my son?
Oh, I remember. Yes.
And thank God he said yes. We didn't do any paperwork. I did not legally adopt him in the state of Colorado. But my daughter introduces him as her brother. And from that day till now, I've felt as though he is my son. And I'm very pleased that he has chosen, especially Nui, a fine woman to help him in ministry. And I'm very happy that he has chosen these long years, 25 or so now, to follow the Lord in the calling that God has given him. Originally, he wanted to go to Korea, but the Lord directed him to Bangkok in Thailand. And I'm going to let him fill in the rest of the story, all the different ministries that God has opened the doors to with Chris as an encouragement to me and to this church now for about the same amount of time, 23, 24 years, something like that. And we're very grateful, Chris, to have you here today. Nui, very grateful to have you here and honored to be able to support you guys as our home missionaries. And just thank you. God bless you as you speak to us.
Thank you. Thank you. I always love it when John invites me to share. He always tells me I have around 2.5 to 3 hours. So that's right up my alley. But today is potluck Sunday, so I'll only take like 15 or 18 minutes. So I know we're all hungry. So I just want to begin by my wife and I, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to be here and to share with you this morning. We never take for granted these speaking opportunities, and we're grateful and excited to share with you all that God is doing in us and through us around the world. But first off, Surface Creek is the starter church, the home church for Dollar Sunday. And I remember many, 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 many years ago talking about this idea for Dollar Sunday, and Surface Creek was like, we would love to do that. And over the years, another church has joined it. And I just want to thank you for your faithfulness to Dollar Sunday. It's not Dollar Sunday anymore. And so it's become a lot bigger than that. You're very generous. You don't just give a dollar a person. You give much more than that. And ministries and organizations and individuals have been blessed around the world. And I just want you to know that. And I don't know if you're able to read all the reports. I know there's a lot of information I send, but I know there will be a time when you get to heaven where people will be there blessed by your faithfulness and commitment to Dollar Sunday. And now, as you know, Dollar Sunday donations are directed to the worldwide work of RMPP, one of the MST initiatives that I'll be sharing with you today. And I know that the blessings will continue to multiply as we invest in Uganda, Kenya, Rwanda, Tanzania, India, Nepal, which are not in Africa. They're in South Asia. But your gift through Dollar Sunday is blessing so many. So thank you. As many of you may know, my wife and I are on a 6-month, 2-country, 29-state, 58-city tour throughout the U.S. and Canada. And on our tour, we have many opportunities to share about the work of MST. We pray that today, as we share, that you would be blessed and encouraged by what God has been doing in the ministry around the world over over the last 5 years since our last visit in 2018. To begin with, do you know what MST stands for? If you know it, you get to be first in line at the potluck. So it stands for Mentoring Men, Strengthening Marriages, and Teaching Truth. And MST has multiple initiatives reaching men worldwide, all with the focus of providing hope, help, and healing to any man, anywhere, regardless of any issue. So let me share with you some of those initiatives and some of the highlights that have taken place You may get our newsletter. If you don't read it, I understand. They're long. But I hope that today in person, you'll be encouraged by some of the stories that I'm going to share with you. Our first initiative is called On the Street, and this started back in 2007, and this is where we go into red light districts to engage in conversations with men. We don't stand in a bar or in a strip club, but we stand on public property, the sidewalk or the side of the road where men are entering in and coming out. And we have conversations with men. I'm not there to judge what they're doing because I don't know. I don't know what's in their mind and I don't know what's in their heart. I know that they're in that area, so therefore we have an opportunity to talk to them. And you might ask, well, Chris, how do you get a man who has a pretty singular focus potentially to stop and talk to you because you're not quite as attractive as maybe some others? And I say, well, it's very easy. I say, hi, because that's nice. My name is Chris, because that's personal. And then I work with MST, which is inquisitive. And as you can imagine, most men will then ask what question in response. What is MST? And my response is always, I'm so happy that you asked. Allow me to share with you. Now we can look at some of those men and we can imagine that the area that they're going into, but what I encourage you to consider and to see is that it's normal conversations with normal men, only in an abnormal environment. We all have ways that we cope with life. Some of us sin better. Some of us maybe sin less repulsively, but we all cope with life potentially in unhealthy, unholy, and sinful ways. And how do you expect somebody to walk away from darkness into the light if there's no light for them to observe? And so we don't go down there to tell a man what he's doing is wrong because we have two different worldviews. His worldview is not my worldview. My worldview is based on God's word. They're competing worldviews. However, what we try to do is impart biblical truth into unbiblical environments to give them a little divine nugget to reflect on. So let me give you an example. There was a man around 2018, maybe late 2018, early 2019. And I did what I normally do. Hi, my name is Chris. I work with the MST project. And he stopped, he reversed a little bit. He's like, what did you just say? I said, MST project. That's who I represent. He's like, tell me more. And so we'll call this man Bob. And in fact, every example I give you today, every man is named Bob. So this is Bob number one. And Bob said, well, I'd like to hear more about it. And I said, you know, Bob, we're here to talk to men. I don't know what you're doing, but I would presume that you're looking for some sort of immorality. And if you are, you'll find it because that's where you are. I'm not dumb. I'm not oblivious. And I'm not trying to hide the fact of where he is. If he's looking for immorality, he will find it in that area. But I said, you know, Bob, when the night is over and the encounter is finished, what do you have? What do you have except a distant memory? You might be satisfied physically, but spiritually and emotionally, you won't be fulfilled. Now, that might not make sense to you right now, Bob, but I think there's going to be a time when you'll understand what I'm trying to tell you. And when you get to that place where you're ready to make a choice, you call me. So here's my card, Bob. Now, you don't have to call me today, but when you get to that place again, I want you to know that you can count on me to be there for you. So he took my car, put it in his back pocket, and off he went. A couple months go by, half a year goes by. We're now towards the end of 2019 doing one of our Real Men Pursuing Purity events. And as you know, I love Facebook. And here's one reason why. A message comes in from a man named Bob. Now, I know a lot of Bobs, so didn't quite know who this Bob was. But he's like, I don't know if you remember me, but I met you around 9 months ago, and I'd like to know if I can come to this event that you're hosting. And I said, of course, it's open to all men everywhere. Nobody is denied access to being with other biblical men and godly men and hearing God's truth. Come on down. Here's the time. Here's the place. I look forward to seeing you. He's like, yeah, I'll be there. But again, I told you, I met you about 9 months ago. And he said, you told me that when life got bad and I was ready to make a change, that you would be there for me. And I want to know if your promise rings true today. And I said, of course it does, Bob. What's going on? He said, as you can imagine, I've engaged in activities in this area, and my wife has found out. She's about to leave me, and I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know the next step I need to take. But I think you might be able to help me. And I said, well, actually, Jesus is the one who can help you. Let's go to him together. Bob today is a different man. Bob no longer goes to that area of immorality. Bob, unfortunately, his marriage has fallen apart for other reasons. But today, Bob is reading more commentaries than some pastors, has about every version of the Bible that you can order from Amazon, is a part of a weekly men's discipleship group, and comes to quarterly events. Bob's this close to knowing Jesus. But Bob wouldn't be at that place today if we were afraid of those who sin, if we were afraid of being in the midst of darkness. I can't change the area where men go and engage in immorality. But what I can do is be a light in the midst of darkness, so that now Bob has to make a choice between which path he's going to take. When light ceases to show itself, the path is easy. But when light is shining bright like a city on a hill, the path now has two options. And Bob took the right one. And that's our ministry to men. As you can imagine, during the pandemic, the area closed. Now, I'm not here to talk about restrictions or regulations. You guys can talk about that later or post your stuff on Facebook. I see it anyway, so I know what you think. But in that moment when Thailand goes from 40 million tourists a year to 10,000 tourists a year, that area shuts down and people return home. So did our ministry stop to men on the street? Not at all. Men continued to reach out on email or telephone calls saying, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what I'm going through. Are you available? And for all of us as believers, the decision that we have to make is, are we available to anyone and everyone? No matter who they are, no matter how they sin, and no matter where they may be found. Because our desire in working with men on the street is not to go back and remind them of every sin that they've done. The devil does a great job of that. And I'm not in competition with the devil. But what I am trying to do is, as an ambassador of God, provide hope for a better tomorrow. For better decisions now, a better tomorrow in the future, and an eternity that is with Father in heaven. And that's our ministry to men on the street. Our second initiative is called Pathway to Purity. So I become a Christian and I think to myself, life is good. I'll never struggle again. I have the Holy Spirit. And little did I know how naive that was. It's much like marriage. I get married and I think, wow, marriage will be great for the rest of my life because I'm perfect and my wife is blessed to have me. Little did I know on our honeymoon that my selfishness would rise up and that we would have to work through some of those issues. Same thing with my walk with the Lord. Just because God had saved me from the penalty of sin doesn't mean that I don't need to learn how to walk in spite of the presence of sin in this world. And I always thought that walking in the light was the biggest choice. Not really. The biggest decision I had to learn was how to learn how to stay in the light. And that's what we try to do with our Pathway to Purity book. Mentoring men, Christian men primarily, who struggle with what they click on, watch, videos, pictures, on the internet and so forth. And because we have younger children in this room, I don't want to go into detail, but you know what I'm talking about. And that's a huge issue for many men. And of course, for a non-believing man, for a non-Christian man, they may think that that's just normal. They may think, well, it's in the privacy of my home. I'm allowed to do that. Nobody's being hurt. But for us as Christian men, we have the Holy Spirit who doesn't allow us to get away with that without some sort of conviction that that is against God's word, ways, and will. And as a believing man, even though I have the Holy Spirit, and even if I struggle in that area, not only do I feel bad about what I've done, I now feel guilt and shame. And so our encouragement is to walk with men and to say, again, yesterday's gone, we can't change it, but what are you going to do today? And whatever you're going to do today, you don't have to do it by yourself. I will walk with you for as long as it takes. So we saw several men over the last couple of years complete our one-on-one mentorship through the book. We also were able to share about how God can transform you according to Romans 12:2, you know, by the renewing of your mind. And God's word is everything we need to walk in the ways that honor him. That there's nothing to be ashamed of if you struggle. Of course, there is godly sorrow for our sin. But again, we're not in competition with the enemy. Let's walk in the light. Let's learn how to stay there so that you can experience freedom and victory and be an example to all others. The book is now available not only in English, because I wrote it, but also in Thai, Indonesian, Vietnamese, Nepali, Luganda, which is a dialect in Uganda, and Lord willing, and thankfully through Dollar Sunday donations and the donations of others, we're now moving towards translating the book into Hindi, Farsi, Arabic, and Swahili as the next language is for our book. I'd like to tell you the story of the first participant who went through Pathway to Purity, and it happened back in 2015 when Nui and I are in Ohio. And we're sitting on the in our room at our host home, and all of a sudden a phone call comes through Skype. I don't know why I had Skype on. I had nobody to call. But the phone rang. And in it was a man named Bob. And Bob said, "Is this Chris Lenti?" I said, "Yes, I think so. I hope so. Why do you ask?" He said, "Because your name has been given to me as somebody who can help me. You see, I'm an older gentleman. I love the Lord. I do many things. I'm a part of an apologetics team. I preach at my church. I help others. I don't know how to help myself. Because you see, I really struggle with what I look on the computer. And I don't know how to break free from what feels like an addictive cycle. And I don't know if you can help me, but if you're open to it, I'd love to get together tomorrow." I said, "Well, we're in Ohio and we don't have a private jet. So you're going to have to wait a few more months. But I promise you that when I get to Thailand, I will walk with you." And when we came back to Thailand a few months later, we reached out, we connected with one another, and I began to travel down to his location every couple of weeks on a public bus. And we began to meet. And we began to, "So let's go back to God's word. Let's go back to God's way. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm trying to encourage you. And I'm trying to remind you that in a world that we live in, which Jesus doesn't say it's going to be the best, but he does give us a blueprint for how to live a life that reflects him and glorifies him. Let's go back to that." Week one, no big change happened. Week two, three, four, five, six, seven. Week eight. And for some of us, we may get disappointed because we're actually very impatient people, are we not? We want people to change now. I know that you've been addicted with this struggle for 25 years, but you have 25 minutes. That makes no sense. You walk with people, not on your timeline, but God's. My responsibility is not to force change, but to be there so that change is possible with God's help and the Holy Spirit. So week eight comes by, week nine comes by, and there it is. He says, "You know, there's something that you shared a couple weeks ago that reminded me that the way I was looking at the world was a way in which I was trying to justify my desire to sin. But thank you for pointing me back to God's word. Since that day, that man has not sinned in that way. In fact, his whole life was changed. It set an example for some of his relatives who then went through the book and had their lives changed as well. He then brought that to his church and men have begun to reach out to him, and he's walking with men in that too. He's been mentoring men around the world through this book. He's written articles for one of our initiatives. He's met with men one-on-one. His life has been changed simply because of faithfulness and obedience. Praise God for Pathway to Purity. Our third initiative is Real Men Pursuing Purity. So here I am. I love the Lord. I think to myself, God, I've reached the pinnacle of male nirvana. I'm not sinning with what I look at on the internet. What else could there possibly be for me to work on? And I can imagine that God was in heaven saying, "I'm so happy you asked. Because here's a scroll that stretches from heaven to earth with all areas of your life that are not yet conformed to the image of my son." You see, you can be sexually pure, but not Christ-like. But I highly doubt that you can be Christ-like and sexually impure. And for many of us as men, we think that that really is the pinnacle of male nirvana. Right? As long as I don't sin, as long as I don't self-gratify, as long as I don't look at porn, I'm A-okay, and the rest of my life, may it be whatever it is. And I have a feeling that God's like, "No. Nope. You're not going to get away with that. Because I want all of you. I want all of your mind, your soul, your spirit. I want every aspect of your heart. I want every thought that goes through your mind. I want me to be the core of who you are, what you say, what you do, what you think, where you go." And I was like, "Oh man, I can't believe I prayed that prayer. But I'm so happy that I did, because out of it came Real Men Pursuing Purity, which is the initiative we have with quarterly events and weekly connect groups. It's about pursuing Christ-likeness. And we go to churches and we start these connect groups and we start these weekly events. We just finished our quarterly event, event 38. And you may ask, "Well, how many more events do you have?" And my response is this: as long as you remain imperfect, there's always another event to go through. Before the pandemic, we had two groups with 12 men. Since the pandemic, we're now at over 45 groups with 450 men meeting weekly in North America, Europe, South Asia, Southeast Asia, and throughout Africa. Now, how did that happen? Did I just wave my Harry Potter wand and it happens? No, not at all. It began with an email from Bob. But this Bob didn't call me for a problem that he was going through. He wanted to bring to light an issue that he was noticing in his network of pastors and Christian leaders. And Bob sent me an email and he said, Chris, I'm not sure if you remember me, but I heard you preach at a church in South Thailand once. You gave me your card and I've kept it on me. Now, if you haven't caught the theme of this talk, give out your business card, okay? Because you never know who's going to call you. And he said, I'd like to talk to you about something that's going on. He's like, since the pandemic, there's a lot of pastors that are struggling. Their identity is being rocked because they're no longer able to preach in person. Marriages are falling apart. Anger and miscommunication is soaring through the roof. Do you have anything to offer these pastors, missionaries, and Christian leaders? And I said, yes, we do. We have something called RMPP. And as we began to talk, he's like, can you create a 3-day course for men from around the world to attend? And I said, yes. So we began to pray and notice that we already had a course over the previous 4 years that we started. And it's called The Life of a Man of God, Lesson 1. Number 2, The Pursuit of Purity. Number 3, Obedience is the Key. The 4th lesson is Real Masculinity. The 5th is Visual Honor, Physical Respect. And the 6th is Biblical Brotherhood. So around 2019, 2020, we did our first one with pastors from Africa, Southeast Asia, and South Asia, and it caught like wildfire. Because all of these men were saying, I've never heard anything like this before. And whatever you have, if you allow us to take it, we'll use it to bless men in our community so that a movement of God takes place within our church, our homes, our marriages, and our hearts. And that's where I shared. We're now at over 45 groups and 450 men meeting weekly, run by many locals in these nations who are bringing men from their churches and communities together. And one day, about a year and a half ago, here's a testimony. One day this man came to one of the men that we work with in Nepal. He said, Brother Chris, there's a pastor who would like to talk to you on Zoom. I said, okay. So I just sitting there eating my snack, looking at Zoom, waiting for him to come up. And up comes this older man, or what appears to be older. Later, I find out he's lived a hard life, so he looks like he has a few years. And he hobbles up to the Zoom screen, and he squints. And he's like, are you Brother Chris? And I said, well, I'm Chris, the brother we can give or take. And he said, I want to share with you something. I said, okay. And he said, when I went through your course, completely changed my life as a pastor. I began to recognize that my real calling wasn't just to the church, but it was to my family, to my children, to my spouse, and ultimately to open my heart, to not just fill my mind with knowledge, but to open my heart to God's transformative work. And he said, I wanted to tell you that, but what you don't know is that it meant so much to me that I woke up this morning and walked 6 hours one way through the mountains of Nepal. And as soon as this phone call is over, I'm going to walk 6 hours back. God is doing something around the world. You may not see it, but that doesn't determine what God does. Our 4th initiative is called Restart. We saw the need to offer a program for pastors and Christian leaders who commit moral sin. It happens to the best of us. It happens to those of us who are famous and those of us who aren't. And when that happens, it's very tough because you love Jesus, yet you also sin in a way that is very, very destructive to those you lead and to your own walk with the Lord. And there were, over the last couple of years, we began to see that there were pastors who were reaching out saying, I don't know what to do. So we developed an 18-month program in conjunction with another counselor and a friend who was in ministry in Thailand at the time called Restart. Again, repentance, renewal, and restoration. That it's never too late to start any one of those three. But with the hope that that doesn't just bring you back into a place where you're able to preach again, but really back into a place where your foundation is restored with God, trust is rebuilt with your spouse, and your church sees God at work. The goal is not to force people back into ministry, but it is the belief that just because you make a mistake once, God doesn't throw you away. God doesn't condone sin, but he does forgive it. And the Bible is full of examples of people who were less than perfect. I remember once I wrote a blog about King David, who not only committed adultery, but killed someone as well, yet still remained king of Israel. The consequences were severe, and they were generational. But he was still a man after God's own heart. And the real issue that we try to find with pastors is not to make you be a better teacher or a better pastor, but to open your heart so that God can mold it so that he too can say about you, a man after my own heart. Another initiative that we do is biblical leadership training. And this is rooted in one of my spiritual mentors. And one day I'm speaking at a conference in Florida and I'm staying at his house so that I don't have to get a hotel. And he takes me into his room and he says, Chris, do you see all these binders on the floor? I said, yes, I do. He's like, why don't you come out here and I'm going to share with you what's in these binders. Now, they look like baseball card binders, and that's what I thought I was going to see, was some valuable baseball cards. But I saw nothing of temporary value. I saw something much, much better. He said, Chris, in these binders are all these yellow papers. And I started this project 45 years ago, long before you were born. And what I've done is I've read a chapter of the Bible, and I've created a sermon out of each chapter. And here is a sermon from every chapter of God's word. And he said, I would like to send them to you. Will you read them? And I said, sir, I would be a fool to say no. So he sent me every one of his lessons over the last 45 years. And he said, not only do I ask you to read it and ask God what he wants to teach you, you have my permission to teach others. And over the last year and a half, we began to have all these pastors reach out to us. And I now take these lessons once a month and I share with pastors in Rwanda, Tanzania, Kenya, Uganda, India, Nepal, Myanmar, and Pakistan. And we learn God's word together so that we're better equipped to do his work in us and ultimately through us for people everywhere. Another thing that we started doing over the last couple of years is marriage and premarital counseling. So again, unless your marriage is perfect from day one, some people need help from time to time, and they come to us. We've had the opportunity to provide counseling for couples who are going through a variety of issues and a variety of problems. Again, to say, here is a safe place to share that, and let's go to God's word. And again, we're committed to you. I'm not going to force you to change, but I'm going to stay stuck with you until you do. And then premarital counseling as well, saying, look, marriage is one of the greatest gifts that God has given us, but it's hard because it's two, as Ruth Graham says, sinners coming together. And unless you're a controlling individual, you have to learn how to love and respect and listen and compromise with one another. And that's hard because we have stubborn hearts. We have egos. We have pride. We have our own way that we would rather do. And so being able to walk with couples and be able to say, this is a great gift from God. Let's walk it out together. Let's learn how to develop our way that ultimately reflects his way. And I've had the opportunity to provide premarital counseling for couples in Thailand as well as North America and to rejoice at where they're at today. And for the couples that come to us in the midst of great pain and hurt and suffering, it's hard. It's hard to see people pay the consequences of bad choices. It hurts to see people pay the consequences of selfish choices. But to be able to walk with them and say, how do we walk away from this into God's word, ways, and will is a great privilege that I never get tired of experiencing. And the last initiative that I do is I provide one-on-one mentorship for up to 30 men a month. And I provide one-on-one counseling, whether weekly, bi-weekly, or monthly, with men around the world, except from Antarctica. Not yet, but you never know. As young as early 20s into their mid-70s. And whatever issue you struggle with, let's go to God's word together. Let's talk about it. Let's see what he says. If you make a mistake, hey, I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to withdraw. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm going to pick you up, and we're going to continue to walk together. And I'm not just going to teach you. I'm going to learn with you. We're going to learn together because I am not yet perfect either. And even though you come to me for guidance and counseling, God is ultimately going to work in us and teach us both so that we look like Jesus a little bit more through our relationship with one another. Let me share with you one story of a man who reached out for mentorship. And this man has put it on Facebook so I can share a little bit more detail. But again, his name is Bob. Bob is from Southeast Asia. And Bob was struggling with both same-sex attraction and also things on the internet. And he reached out to me and he said, Chris, I have never shared this with anybody before. I feel deep shame for the feelings that I feel. I feel deep, deep embarrassment about the temptations that I experience. But he's like, God really put MST on my heart. So all I know how to do is say this, help me. And I wasn't repulsed. Why be repulsed by sin? Our hope is greater than the sin that people struggle with. We have the hope that Jesus changes lives. The sin is the last thing I think about. I said, let's go to God together. I'm not an expert in the areas that you're going through, but I know that God, who is the creator of all and the creator of you and me, can help us. That doesn't mean that we won't learn with resources written by man, because there's many great resources out there, but we're always going to come back to our Lord and Savior and Father above, God in Christ Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will help us. Today, that man is in a different place. He's much more confident in the way God created him with his masculinity. He doesn't struggle with the things that he looks at the internet, and he's able to walk in the ways that bring honor to God and what God calls us to do. That man's in a great place. That man wrote me a letter not too long ago and said, how can I ever thank you for helping a struggling man like myself? And I said, the thanks doesn't go this way. It goes this way. Because it's not about what we do, but it's about who we serve. And to be able to be used by God to minister to the broken, to the hurting, to the sinful, to the little bit more repulsive than what you might feel comfortable with, there's nothing better than that. Now, we praise God for how new initiatives have started, such as marriage counseling and premarital counseling and restart and biblical leadership training. These four initiatives all started in the midst of the pandemic. And other initiatives have grown and expanded that existed before the pandemic, like the Pathway to Purity and also Real Men Pursuing Purity. And one reason I believe they've grown is because of the work God continues to do in my heart. At the beginning of the pandemic, I was kind of excited. I don't know how you felt, but when it started, I was like, praise God. 2 weeks to flatten the curve. I'm going to save money on gas. I'm going to save money on food. I'm going to eat less. And I'm going to get my to-do list done. 3 years later, gas shot through the roof. I ate way more food than I should have. And my to-do list still exists. Truth be told, in hindsight, I would not want to go through the pandemic again. It wasn't fun and it wasn't enjoyable. But I learned a tremendous lesson. And the lesson I learned is that I'm grateful for the pandemic. I'm grateful because I had to work through attitudes and perspectives that were not exposed if not for the pandemic. I had to look at myself and see, am I open to change? I had to ask myself, what fears are holding me back from being faithful to God? And I also had to ask myself, am I looking for someone to blame for a very uncomfortable few years? Or in the midst of these uncomfortable few years, am I looking for someone to bless? For example, change is hard. I like stability. I like normalcy. I like routine. Maybe perhaps you're more adventurous and you're spontaneity. You're ready to go climb Mount Everest today. That's not me. I like my day. I like my day set. I like my schedule. My schedule is firm but flexible. Change is not my favorite thing. But I can be afraid of change. Because actually in the midst of change, I'm required to change as well. And you might say, well, Chris, God says that he's the same today and forever. Yes, he is. His character is. But his methods do change from time to time. And when the door was opening for change, I had a question to ask myself. Well, Chris, this is how you've always done it. But might it be possible that God is saying a door is opening for something different? The goal is still the same, to mentor men, but how I do that is going to look a little different. How will I respond? And I admit that for a while, I was like, no, this is the way we've always done it. We don't change it. It's going to work. Just stay faithful. And there was a moment where I sensed God say, I'm at work. I'd like to bring you with me. But if you remain stubborn, I'm going to continue to work and you're going to miss out. So now the choice is yours. And I said, Lord, I'm afraid of some change. I'm afraid of what it might look like. And he said, there's nothing to fear. And speaking of fear, I had some fears as well. I had some fears of where's our world today? Things are crazy. How am I going to respond? And I don't know about you, but I can tend to fear a lot. And actually, I tend to what if, which is kind of crazy. Because God doesn't ask us to reside in the realm of what if. He asks us to reside in the realm of what is. God resides in the realm of truth and light, and there's every expectation that you as a child of God will reside there as well. And I had to confront some of those fears. Fears about people, fears about situation, fears about tomorrow. What happens if all my support dries up? What will I do, Lord? I can't work at 7-Eleven. What will I do? What happens, Lord, if we're stuck in the house for the rest of my life? What will I do? I'm afraid of what may happen to me if I go out. I'm afraid, God. And I sense God say yes. It is human nature to be afraid. It is godly character to trust. Where are you today, Chris? But the biggest lesson I learned is in the midst of the pandemic, I wanted to blame. I wanted to find somebody to blame for the uncomfortable experience that I was going through. 2 weeks turned into 3 years. Lockdowns came. And in the country that I live in, you couldn't go out after 9 p.m. for a period of time. And you couldn't move outside your house before 5 a.m. There was a curfew that you had to follow. And masks? It's hot. Don't they understand how hot it is in Thailand and you want me to wear a mask now? That's crazy. And this and that. And at first I was able in my own strength and my own capacity to be calm. It's okay. Ride out the wave. We'll be over by Easter. Then Easter 2019 went by, or 2020 went by. Then Easter 2021 went by. Easter 2022 went by. And I began to look out my window and be like, when will this ever end? And in that frustration and in that disappointment, I wanted someone to blame. There's got to be somebody to blame for the situation that I'm in. There's somebody that has to deserve and receive my anger. Where can I go? And one day, I'm at my desk. And I sense God say, how much longer, Chris? How much longer are you going to stay in this place? Because while you're looking for someone to blame, I'm at work ready to bless. And even though God operates in the world does not determine how God operates. And whether it's a pandemic or anything else, God is at work. But in the bitterness of my heart, which I confess to you, in the frustration of my attitude, I was missing out on the doors of blessing that God was opening. I was distracted by looking for someone to blame that I failed to see the door to bless someone. And the choice was made to turn away from blame and instead focus on who I can bless and impart hope towards. The doors God was opening, even if ever so slightly, became clear because now I was looking for a place to impart God's hope, not my heartful blame, frustration, and anger. And in looking to bless someone and impart hope somewhere, the decision to be obedient and faithful was easy. Friends, whether it's a pandemic, an economic downturn, political chaos, or whatever man-made, human-driven, sin-tainted thing will happen, it'll happen again. I promise you. Something will happen again because you live in a broken world. Nowhere in God's words does Jesus say, the world will get better. It will get worse. And something will happen. And the question that I have to ask is the same question that I'm going to ask you. How are you going to respond? I look back at all that God did in the last 5 years, and I'm thankful that he taught me the lessons that led me to a place of teachability and good response. In his kindness, he gave me chance after chance again and said, how will you respond today? Because whether, again, it's an economic downturn or political chaos or pandemic, it will happen. And when it happens, you're going to be asking yourself, how do I respond? And the truth is this, the ones who should fear the least are the ones who have the greatest hope. And the ones who have the greatest hope are you. Thank you so much for this time.
Thank you, Chris. Would you stand with me as we pray, please? I'm not really even going to try to add on to that. Our Father God, we come before you today and thank you for the challenge that you've allowed Chris to bring to us individually, to our hearts, and to our response to you. And I pray, oh God, that we would give you time to work in our hearts, that we might respond favorably to your challenge. Lord, as we close this time out and go into our potluck, I pray your blessing on the food, but that's really not so important, Lord. I pray your blessing on our fellowship, that our hearts would be turned toward you with words of encouragement and adoration, and we would remember you in the midst of all that we have in our minds, that this day would be holy before you. Bless our time together, we ask in Jesus' name, great lover of our souls. Amen.
I have one thing to add. I'm sorry.
We have a prayer card, and we would love to give everybody a prayer card. I just also want to remind you that this prayer card is so good looking, it's frameable. You should pick one up from my beautiful bride who has one for you. It has all information that you can follow along with the ministry, email us, and connect. So please get a prayer card before you leave. My wife has one. And again, it's frameable.